Beginning in Parsha Ki Tetzeh, which deals with many different mitzvahs in the Torah, we have the mitzvah of the King Tzipor of the bird's nest. If a bird's nest happens to be before you on the road, on any tree on the ground, so we're told that if the mother is roosting on the young birds or the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young, rather you shall surely send away the mother and take for yourself the children. So it'll be good for you and you'll prolong your days. Very famous Ramban on this, tremendous amount of commentators developed this idea of the Ramban. The Ramban, source 2, comments that these commandments are meant to inculcate compassion in people, not as some things that Hashem himself pities the birds and animals. It's forbidden to say so, and the obvious reason, one of the reasons, is that he only pities the birds and not any other animals. Why only the bird you would send away, but not, let's say, another animal who would be on their children? And because God permits people to use and slaughter animals for their own needs, rather such commandments teach that people should accustom themselves to act mercifully. There's a tremendous amount to say on this mitzvah of the Kan Tzipor. Why is this the mitzvah along with Kibud Av V'Em that we get this, the reward found in the Chumash itself of Ha'arachta Yamim, prolonging of days? And what's the symbolism of this mitzvah? So within this very, very large topic, I'd like to focus in on one medrash. Very fascinating medrash. The medrash says, it's a medrash in Dvarim Rabbah, Chaim Moshe Rabbik brings it down in source 3. Ki Karesh Kan Tzipor, etc. Shaleach Tishalach Eta'im. Why the double language of Shaleach Tishalach, you shall surely send away? So the medrash says, Im Kiyamta Mitzvazu, if you fulfill this mitzvah, Atam Mimaher, you bring closer Regel Shamelech HaMashiach, you bring closer the footsteps of Mashiach. Shekatuv Bo Shiluach, because the language of sending is also found by the Mashiach. Minayin Shenemar Mishalchei Regel HaShur VaChamor, that the one who sends the foot of the shore and the chamor. The chamor represents the Melech HaMashiach, who is described as Ani v'rochev al chamor, riding on the donkey. Dava acher, another opinion, Amar Rabbi Tanchuma, Im kiyamta mitzvah azor, atam imaher ed Eliyahu HaNavi shiyavo. Now do you bring Mashiach quicker, you also bring Eliyahu HaNavi quicker. Shekatu bo shiluach, because the language of sending is also found by him. Hine anochi sholeach lechem et Eliyahu HaNavi. Behold, I am sending before you, Eliyahu HaNavi. V'ikshu kol mefarshim, the arrow on 3. B'mel tam ala mitzvah shiluch hakan shimim maher b'yat Eliyahu b'yat HaMashiach. What is it about this mitzvah that would hasten from all the mitzvahs in the Torah, the bringing of Mashiach, the bringing of Eliyahu HaNavi? What is significant about this mitzvah? It's interesting, the Shvili Pinchas, for Pinchas Friedman, notes that when we have the idea, it's also hinted at in source 4 of Shaleach to Shalacha to Aim. Behold, you shall send the Aim, the mother, that the Medrash tells us, and the Noam Megadim brings down, that the Aim, Aleph Mem, represent the names, the acronym of the Redeemers. In Egypt, the Aleph Mem were Aaron and Moshe. In the story of Purim, it was Esther and Mordechai. And in the future, it will be Eliyahu and Mashiach. So, Shaleach to Shalach et Ha'aim, that the aim will be sent, is a reference to the Redeemer. The Aleph Mem, the mother, is the Mashiach and Eliyahu and Mashiach. The Medrash also describes that in the Schus, and this is very well known, of this mitzvah, a person who doesn't have children will be Zocha to have children as well. We also have to understand a bit, we'll touch on this as well, is what's a skula in this mitzvah that a person should be blessed with children. But our focus is going to be primarily on this medrash of the shiluach hakan, the sending away the mother bird and taking the children for you, is a skula to bring Mashiach closer. And the question becomes, how so? So I'd like to do Mirtz Hashem today, is take a look at the beginning at a more of a Kabbalistic, mystical level, then bring it down to very much the world of the practical on a number of levels, really two, within the two, there'll be multi-levels, and then end again, almost like a sandwich, with more of a philosophical, Kabbalistic, mystical level, and it will give us a sense that there's a lot more that meets the eye than we can see. The Otros HaTorah brings down in Source 5, the Rabbeinu Bechaye, who notes, By doing this mitzvah, you're creating, generating tremendous amount of rachamim, of mercy in the world. When you send away the mother bird, she's in pain, in agony. What will be with her nest? She wants to lose herself. And the angel in charge of birds is beseeching mercy in front of Hashem. And Hashem, who's Rachamav HaKol Ma'asav, who's merciful on all of his creatures, Mamshich Shefa Rachamim, not only brings a certain amount of mercy on this mother bird, but HaKol HaMitzta'arim V'Atzrichim Rachamim Merachem Aleihem, on all those who need mercy, Hashem brings upon them. And this is based on this Rabbeinu Bechaya from the Zohar Kadosh, who says in Surah 6, Yesh Bekiyo Mitzvah Zu Itoru Rachamim HaKol HaOlam, you're awakening mercy on the whole world. V'hu Kimitoshu M'shalecha Ta'im V'Paracha M'gozleha. When she is sent away, M'shalacha Ma'al Baneha, Itekiyo Mitzvah Shiluch HaKam, Hinei Mitzvah V'Daregen HaKorban Kina, she feels bad, and she is nodedet. She is wandering around. And again, this Malach comes and is Mevakesh Rachamim. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Ma'oseh. Here we have a little bit more of a development than we saw in the Rebbeinu Bechaye. Osev Kol Chayotav Ve'omet. He gathers his whole entourage and said, Kol Memuneh. All those who are in charge of and are able to be Melameh Tzchur Mevakesh Rachamim Al Ov Shemumuneh Alav. Ubechem Ein Mishu Mav Le'tzchur Al Banai Val Shechina Shibigolos. The Kanshalash Ezeh Yushalayim Nechra. He turned to his whole entourage and says, all of you are ready to stand up for the protection of that bird that you're in charge of. But who's standing up for my nest? Who's standing up for Yushalayim, which is destroyed? Who's standing up for my children, which are also in a state of korban? And when Hashem says this, this awakens that Kivyochol Hashem himself has rachamim on his children who are in galus. If you angels are going to have rachamim on your children who are in exile, how much on your bird who are being exiled, how much more I should have rachamim on my bird? And the source 7, the Zohar continues, V'azu mitarir mamshich shef rachamim akol eila ho'chim nad v'nad makom l'makom. Hashem sends down a spirit of mercy on all those who go from place to place, who are in a state of, you know, between and betwixt, nishtehin, nishtehir, shivrei halev, the brokenhearted, shvurei hakoach, those who are broken in spirit. And he's me'orer rachamim on the call of the world, the whole world, and he forgives our sins. And this is, creates that Hashem, this rachamim that Hashem has on this world, creates the spirit of the geula, of redemption on a personal level of those who need it, and hence we see the connection of those who don't have children, who are, Hashem has rachamim on them, and bestows upon them children, a direct result as reward for bringing such rachamim into this world. And it brings the geula closer, begins the personal as well as the national geula closer. And this is why this mitzvah has such a tremendous reward for it. It's not stam a mitzvah. We think, you know, down here what we see a person who's shooing away the mother bird and taking the chicks or taking the eggs. That's only from our naked human eye. We do not see as what goes on in Shamayim with the cry of that mother bird, the cry of that angel awakened, Kivyocho, the cry of a Kodesh Baruch Hu on all those who need rachamim, on all those who need mercy, and that hastens and brings rachamim into the world and hastens the footsteps of Mashiach. And with this we can explain in the Sefer Elohim Mo'adai, Rav Schlesinger 9a and 9b, that he points out so beautifully that a theme of the Rosh Hashanah davening is clearly the theme of mothers, and particularly mothers in the state of crying, in the state of trying to have children or taking care of their children. And we have 6 Jewish mothers, he points out, mentioned, and 2 non-Jewish mothers. You have Sarah, in the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you have Sarah Imenu, and you have in the Haftarah Chana and Nevi'ah, and then you have on the second day, Yantif, you have four Jewish mothers, two non-Jewish mothers, then you have Rachel Imenu, Rachel Mevakal Baneha, and in Kriyas HaTorah, you have the Rivka Imenu is born after the Aketa. So you have the mention of four Jewish mothers, and Hagar, and Ein Sisra, who although not mentioned, is very much a theme of the 100 kolos, 100 sounds over her crying, over her son who hasn't returned from war. The women role is very much a predominant theme on Rosh Hashanah. And he brings down again that the reason for this is very much what we just mentioned, that just like the mother cries for her children, and just like the mother cares for her children, and that relationship of a mother-child is very much a relationship and an emotional feeling of rachamim, of mercy, that is the feeling we are trying to engender, kivyachol by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should treat us like a father has mercy for his children, but it's more than just a father, it's the mother figure, right? As the Sfarim point out, the difference between a mother and a father is the father's vision is always, how will my child grow up and be independent? And the mother's vision is, I never want my child to grow up. You know, it's always my baby. It could be 60 years old and it's my baby. You know, I was just at physical therapy for my foot. And there was an 87-year-old lady working with the PT before me, and she's describing how her children are getting old, right? You know, you can imagine how old her children are. And they're, you know, what is she going to do to help her children out? Like, before I knew she was 87 years old, she doesn't look it. You would think, like, you know, this is somebody really worried about her children. The children must be in their 60s and grandparents themselves. But a parent always looks at their children as needing care. And that's the theme of Rosh Hashanah, that Hashem should be ma'orei rachamim, that Hashem should awaken mercy on us. Okay, my friends, that is definitely a Kabbalistic, more mystical understanding of the Shiluch HaKan, why it brings Mashiach closer, because it arouses this level of rachamim and shamayim. And personally, I think this is such a powerful Zohar HaKadosh that just shows you the ripple effects of how one cries out, it could be even a bird, and how it creates rachamim in the whole world. Having said that, let's try to take a look on a much more down-to-earth level, so to speak, a little bit of a deeper understanding or different understanding of why this particular mitzvah brings the Kates, the redemption, closer. So we know that in order to answer that question, we have to understand what is blocking us from having the redemption. What are the roadblocks that are stopping us from the redemption? And what do we need to work on in order to get the redemption? And if we understand those two things, and obviously it's complex and there are many levels, but if we can pinpoint one thing that's stopping us, or one thing that we can work on to strengthen ourselves to hasten Mashiach, then we can have a deeper understanding of how that then is connected to our story. So let's take a look at the one of the things that's stopping us from bringing Mashiach, and one of the things that we can work on to bring Mashiach closer. And in each of those areas, we'll see that this is definitely a theme in our mitzvah. We know Rav Dessler in Sanctuaries and Time in Source 10 has a piece on the Midah Keneged Midah, the measure for measure, that God sends against us a type of enemy which represents our own dominant sin. Look at the faces of our foes, we can detect the caricature of our own weaknesses. In the first temple period, Israel sinned for idolatry, immorality, and bloodshed. These are derived from lust. Even the attraction of idolatry laid largely in the sexual license it promoted. Consequently, they fell under the rule of Babylonia and Persia, who had this, natiya toward these things. The destruction of the Second Temple, however, we know, was due to the causeless hatred which was among the Jews at that time. What do we mean by causeless hatred? Obviously, it must have some cause. However, in our case, the cause was not the natural feeling of hatred, which emerges when one person perceives another standing in his way, injuring his prospects, or frustrating his enjoyment of life. Causeless hatred arises from the very fact of the other person's existence. It is the irrational hatred which cannot abide the other person's being there. Here's the key in the bracket. Its origin is that boundless arrogance which characterizes Esav or Edom. The problem of Klal Yisrael, the Sinas Chinam, why do I hate a person? I don't need a reason. They're just there. I hate them. Comes from arrogance. comes from gaifa, comes from the feeling of, I take up all the space, and if you're there, what right do you have to be on my turf, in my space? That's the gaifa that Edom represents. And that we know is Edom, where, you know, Edom says, I am invincible, the Haftarah in the Sefer Avadja, where, you know, he puts himself on the top of the rock, and who can bring me down? And if I put my if I put my nest in the stars, this is the aspect of Esav, the aspect of arrogance. What is it that we need to work on? What's the blockage that breaks us from having the geula? We have to be able to break down the sinas chinam. We have to have avas chinam. What is, if we can find the character trait that is stopping us from having this avas chinam? The answer is our gaiva, our arrogance, our sense of self that has become out of proportion. With this, my friends, we can appreciate on two different aspects on how the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan can break down our arrogance. And I'd like to take a look at this on two levels. Level number one, Mayana Shel Torah brings the Avnei Ezel, who says the following in 11. B'ram Shorish Kol HaRasha Ba'olam V'chol HaKilkulim Gam B'chinuch Rabbanim Gam Avodat Hashem. All of our challenges in life, and our ben adam l'chaveiro, ben adam l'mokom, is he our nochiyot, is the ego. Right? Ego, easing God out. Hainu masha ein adam esugal l'vater l'nigotav v'inyanav ha'ishim l'tovat haklal. We're so interested in ourselves, we don't really care about other people. L'tovat rayon na'alel tovat ha'shlama ruchani. And because of money, where we don't want to send, you know, give our children the best education or supplement their education, and because of our kavod, we get involved in machloket, in strife, and in sinna, and in kinna, and in hatred, and in jealousy. B'ram ilu aita noshiut mesugelu levater al inyanim ha'ishim l'tovat inyan yoter na'ala, o rayon nisgav kolshi, gaz ha'yelom ba'al idei ha'tikun amiti v'ashalim b'chol inyanim. If we would just learn to rise above ourselves and our own needs, if we would just be able to see things from a larger picture and to realize that there are other people in the world, then we'd bring the geula so much closer. You know, it's like, in a very simple level, those who park in two parking lot spots at the same time. Like, do you realize that you're taking up another spot? Or do you say, oh, it's going to be just for 5-10 minutes, what's the big deal? Well, someone looking for a parking spot, that is a big deal. You double park, you say it's not such a big deal. For those who have to get around you, it is a big deal. You know, it's simple things. Like, you're standing in the store online, and if you look behind you to see if the person behind you maybe doesn't have a carriage, but is carrying a lot of things, and if you would just move up and move your things up a little bit, they could put the thing down instead of having to hold it. That's looking at the world beyond you. How many times do people stop, whether it's in a car, you know, parallel to each other, or on the street, they're schmoozing together, or in the store. Do they think that they're stopping right in the middle and everyone around them has to be, you know, affected by it? We don't think. Why? Because I'm talking to my friend, and after all, I'm the center of the world. Granted, my friends, we don't say this, but the fact that we do this all the time, and the fact that we're not considerate, and we don't move over, and we don't look behind us, and we don't judge a situation of what the needs of others are around us, that's an indication that indeed we are very much pulled to this arsius, to this ego. And that's why this mitzvah, v'achein mitzvah shilucha kam ba'alodom deinu davar zeh, af ker tzipur ha'gdola ha'em nitunah b'yadav shel adam. He could, you know, take the bird for himself. He should send away the mother bird. Why? She'll have more children. She'll be able to, you know, propagate her species more. I don't only think about myself here. This is what I want. I'm able to think beyond myself and be able to see what are the needs of this bird. What are the needs of the world who would enjoy this bird, who would enjoy the eggs of this mother? I'm able to move beyond myself. This is a mitzvah which shrinks the ego. This is a mitzvah that forces me to look at a bird and what the bird can contribute to this world. Similar but a little bit different, Mikdash Halevi of Duner Zatzal points out in source number 12, where he says, this is the Shiluach HaKan, is you are over b'derech l'tumo, you're walking, you know, on your way, and it's Hefgar. Ulepater mistomem b'derko kan sipur.
So you can immediately say, well, I can take this for myself. And my immediate reaction is, well, this is an easy game. But if you stop for a minute, the rock, and you say to yourself, Eliyakdim vishlachatayim, first send away the mother bird. And then you say to yourself, do I really need these children? Do I really need these eggs? It allows you to stop and pause and say, you know what? I really don't need it. Maybe somebody who needs it more than me will come by and take it. That's why the mitzvah says of Kat Sipur is about Ikar mitoch rachamim al sipur, el ach v'rach mitoch ritzon haTorah l'chanech et adam l'chbosh et tavato. The real aspect of the mitzvah is to teach a person how to conquer his taiva. Everything you see, you don't have to take right away. You can wait. You can stop. Right? You don't have to be the first one standing by the kiddush table grabbing all the food. Let others take. Let others enjoy. This is what life is about. Do you always need to take everything for yourself? And whatever you see, even if you don't need it, you say, well, maybe one day I'll need it. Are you able to leave it go and say, you know what, there are others who need it more than me? And this is the whole beauty of what Kat Sipur is about. You know, it's also in our lives. If someone says to you, you know what, there's a great sale going on, and it's only going on for a few hours, grab it now. You say, well, I really don't need the things on the sale. Your friend says, doesn't matter if you need it or not, it's at such a good price, just grab it. Well, stop and say to yourself, if I don't really need it, and I grab it, and I just have it sitting in my closet, or I wait 3 years till my kids will maybe fit into it, but someone else right now could use it, and someone else could benefit from it. Do I need just to have it just for the sake of saying, well, I went to the sale and I grabbed it? This is the ability to step beyond ourselves and be sensitive to the needs of others. My friends, this nekuda of being able to think beyond oneself and not just to have the world revolve around me and my needs and what I think I need, it's mamish the avoda of what Elul is about. The Lekach V'Libur Rashur Shlita points out in 14 that we know that the war of Sichon and Og is mentioned quite a number of times in Chumash, over and over again. What was it about this war that's repeated so many times? And he notes that it's repeated at the end of Sefer Dvarim, and there he's referred to as Sichon Melech Cheshbon, Sichon the king of Cheshbon. And he says he's coming to teach us that Sichon represents the klipa of Sichon is la'dbir yoter et sana gashmi sheba adam sheyaseh kol purutav opi ritzon aguf v'tavatav, in the bracket of 14, b'li litchashe b'rosh u'b'moach. Sichon is about, let's grab things for ourselves. Sichon, for the word tzach, to speak, it means the pleasures of this world. For what? For pleasure's sake. Let me just get as much pleasure as I can. The challenge of Sichon is to be a melech cheshbon, to be able to have an accounting. Do I need this or do I not need this? And he brings down that the war of Sichon happened in the month of Elul, because this is our job. It's for all generations to know. Machar, in the asterisk in 14, Shizachu, that this Mohamma was B'nei Yisrael and Atzeach et Sichon b'chodesh Elul nishara kolach b'chol ha'dorah. This then has left an imprint in all generations that this chodesh is mesugo b'yoter v'yochal adam lechnia klipat zichon litgaber ritzon v'taiva saguf. It's a time to do a cheshbon nefesh. Do I really need the things that I have? Do I really need the things that I so desperately am struggling to get? For what? And this is the cheshbon nefesh we have to make. Do I really need A, B, and C? If I do, matova manayim. And if it's extra, well, why do I want it? Is it for public appearance? Is it because everything in my world is very much on the outer? And if my, you know, my three-year-old doesn't have a $500 dress for Yontif, what will people say about me? Is this where my mind is? This is the questions I have to ask myself. And that's why, as the Chazon Ish, Tiva Moadi, Rav Gamliel Rabinovich points out in 15, says, in one of his Igarets, he says, "Bechol davar v'davar yesh li jayitzin arba chokas shulchan aruch." You have to ask yourself a halacha question. Is this allowed or not allowed? Am I able to do this? Am I not able to do this? And you're right, there are areas of reshut, and we have to ask ourselves, in the areas that's permissible, what is within the boundaries of what halacha and what Jewish law wants of me and what's beyond those parameters. And Rav Gamliel notes, it's hard to do this. You want me to daven? I'll daven. You want me to learn? I'll learn. You want me to do chesed? I'll do chesed. But you want kasher kol teruat yemekubelim rutzal kocha okay shulchan aruch? You want me to check everything I do to make sure this is okay? Wow, that's really intense. And that indeed is what this month is about. To do a cheshbon nefesh, he says. Start from the morning, the way you wake up, the way you tie your shoes. Are you doing it according to the Shulchan Aruch? The way you get dressed, are you doing it appropriately? Every action of our day. How are you looking at others? How are you thinking about others? How are you interacting? What are you taking for yourself? What do you need? These are all the cheshbonos that we need to be able to work on. So this is aspect number one of what it means to work on enochiyut. It means to be able to take our taivas, our sense of self, our sense of self-importance, our sense of self-worth, our sense that the whole world revolves around me and I will get whatever I need at no matter what price, I will get it because it's all about me and I'm not thinking about anybody else. The time of Elul is to step aside. Ish L'Rieu Matanos L'Avyonim, the acronym of Elul, being able to give gifts to others, be able to think about others, to be able to say, I don't need that. Let someone else benefit from it. Let somebody else call up somebody who you know will need it and say, you know, there's a great sale. Why don't you go catch it right now? Be able to think beyond yourself. You're making 3 cakes for Yontif, make 5 and give it to 2 people who could use it. That's what Elul is about, moving beyond the self to be able to give to the needs of others. The other aspect of the ego and the self is about working on our sense of rachamim, working on our sense of compassion, that our enochiyut, again, this dovetails the first aspect, but slightly different, our enochiyut, our sense of ego, which blocks us from having avas chinam, chasinas chinam. The way to hasten the geula is to have this avas chinam, to have this abundance of love. The Megid Yosef Rav Saretzkin points out in a gewaltig idea in 16, he said that why was this imagery, we don't know why, but we can give as one, perhaps one of the Tamei Mitzvos, why is it that only the mother bird is the one that shooed away and not any other animal? And he says, one of the approaches, perhaps, is that the mother bird has a greater love of her children than do other animals. Why? How is it so? Because the other animals, once the mother gives birth, she gives birth to the animal, she sees it right away. But by a bird, she lays eggs. And she doesn't see the birds right away. They take time till they turn into little chicks. So this mother bird is protecting these eggs that she doesn't even see as her children. She has to extend herself above and beyond until she actually sees little chicks that look like birds, that look like animals. And therefore, when her chicks are taken, the pain is that much greater than another animal. And that's why, if normally when a bird sees a person, they run away, here she's rovetzet. She's staying on her chicks. She's very, very attached to them. She doesn't have the normal reflex reaction of let me run. That's clearly saying that she is very attached to her children. And therefore, you are only allowed to take these children if you shoo away the mother bird that she doesn't see them. Through this mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, you understand in 17, V'nimsa sh'edei kiyo mitzvah Shiluach HaKan hu marabit surab rabi yoter shu mevin rikshei ha'em livna. You understand so clearly what it means, the feeling of a parent to a child, and you're sensitive to this. O'meila hu batzwa ru'u liyot avo'ein l'chein ascher shal bani matimim l'mitzvah Shiluach HaKan. And that's why it's befitting that these people should be worthy to be parents, because they understand the role, the nature of a love of a parent to a child. And also, these are the people who are worthy to have a heshiv avos habanim v'le banim alavosav, to bring Eliyahu HaNavi, who also is a harbinger of this relationship of parent and child. This is what this mitzvah is about. It's about, on the one hand, recognizing that there are people beyond us, moving beyond our ego, beyond ourself, asking what the halacha is, being sensitive to the needs of others, as well as it is enabling us to move into that realm of mamish ahavas chinam, of rachmonos, of thinking about other people. And here, as the V'fi Yesharim points out in 17, it's you're walking with derech mikra, you happen to be walking along the way, you see this bird's nest, and you have rachamim on it, and you have mercy on it. That's what we're trying to inculcate within a person. Mercy to even, you know, birds, to even, you know, animal kingdom, how much more so this is going to inculcate mercy within us. And that's why, my friends, we could just take this idea for a number of moments before moving to the second aspect. Rav Zaitchik, that's Zatzal, in Or Chadash, has most, as always, beautiful piece on this idea of sensitivity. I'd just like to highlight, I brought the whole essay down because I was very taken by this essay. I'd like to just highlight a number of his ideas that he talks about of this idea of Rachmanus. And he says, when a person is into Sipuk Tavat Nafsho V'Gufohu, this is really combining the two ideas we've spoken about now. A person is interested in being able to fulfill his desires. He's ready to destroy the whole world to get what he wants. When a person's into gratifying self, you can do anything to stomp on other people. And nothing will stop him. Particularly if he's, you know, on a mitzvah campaign. For sure, he's going to be very, you know, single-minded in being able to do this mitzvah. If a person's on its way to do a mitzvah and he happens to hurt other people or affect other people in a negative way, it doesn't even faze him, because after all, I'm doing a mitzvah. You know, it's like the people who double park in order to go to a mincha minyan, and the people have to, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, take their carriages and walk around this double parked car. Well, I don't care if people have to walk around. I'm doing a mitzvah. Like, I should worry about the people who have their carriages, who have to walk around and have to struggle because of me. Look at me. I'm so holy. I'm making sure to dabble in a minyan in a mincha. It's our people who, even in a dvar mitzvah, think only of themselves and aren't concerned about others. And listen to the language that he says here. Aval mitzvah to he velo mitzvah Hashem. When you're doing such a mitzvah, it's your mitzvah, it's not Hashem's mitzvah. Ki mitzvah Hashem alohi shetikuyamet yivusaban avav v'ashkei. Hashem's mitzvah is done in a quiet way, in a way that's not going to step over people. Ubezihirud mina zihirud, in such carefulness, lo lifko b'nafsho, not to hurt anybody else. V'alze ba taratzvus. הסופר לתוך תוכה של נפש אדם שמטיבה היא כל כך אטומה ורתומה לגלגלי התעבור השוקקת והנרחיות. This is why the Torah understands a human psyche that's so involved in self and tells us how you have to work on to be able to break that gasos ruach that you feel about other people, that you be sensitive to other people. And that's why it's brought down that sometimes Metzora, for example, who needs to purify himself from leprosy in Source 19, will need to take a mother bird, and in order to do this, and he says, "Well, I'm doing this in order to do this mitzvah. I need the bird for." You're not allowed to do this. Again, this we speak about. You have to ask what halacha is. You have to be sensitive to what other people feel. And this is what you have to stop. Atzor moshov b'lavdutcha amitzviyot b'chdei shemishu lo yechaveh. Stop in what you're doing and make sure nobody gets harmed by this. And then he gives us the example, classic in 21. Slichos coming up for the Sfardim. They started already in Chodesh Elul for the Ashkenazim a few days before Rosh Hashanah. So a person says, I'm going to get up. And I'm going to go to Slichos. And when they get up to go to Slichos, they make such a to-do. Wow, I am able to go to Slichos. And they wake up the whole family. At whose expense? At what expense? What's going on here? And sometimes you have workers who are Yesomim, Almana. So, and you wake them up so you can serve me a hot tea, that I can be able to say Slichos better. You know, so people who have the Simchas Pesach Shoeva to all hours of the night, singing and dancing and making a loud noise, and they're outside. Do you think about the other people who are sleeping outside in Sukkos? Do you think about other people in their homes who can't sleep? Do you think about people who have babies who need quiet? Like, to what hour of the night? Oh, I'm doing my Simchas Pesach Shoeva. I'm doing a big mitzvah. I'm showing Simcha to Hashem. What do you mean I have to be careful about what hour I am and to what noise I make? And this is the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKan. Aval Ata Ben Adam, the end of 22. Amot V'chashov El Kol HaNivriim V'Yitzurim. Stop. Look at people. Look at the creations Hashem created. Shelo elim v'tepakachotam v'altat tzayarotam. Stop. Be able to look around you. Be able to make sure that whatever you're doing isn't going to affect other people in a negative way. Isn't going to be able to harm people. That, you know, you're on a campaign too, so you can cut in line and you can... That's not Hashem's Torah. This is the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKan on the first level. So again, question was, why is this mitzvah bring the Geula closer? Again, idea number one is it creates a tremendous amount of rachamim in the world on such a ripple effect we can't even imagine. Idea number two is what blocks the Geula is Enochiyot, is that symptom that we see in Esav that we saw in our Sinas Chinam, where we're only focused in on ourselves. We don't look behind us at what the needs of the other person is standing around us. We're not sensitive enough because I'm involved in my Dakiote, you know, my mitzvah, what are other people being stepped on? You know, I want to get the front seat at the shiur, so I push everyone, you know, along the way so that I can get the front seat because I want to listen. We have to be able to understand this isn't Hashem's Torah. Hashem's Torah is about sensitivity. It's about being able to have this quality in our relationship with other people. That, my friends, is the second idea. What is a midah and a mitzvah we can work on to bring the geula closer? So this is a midah we have to work on in order to make ourselves sensitive. There is a kumva asay, a positive mitzvah that we can work on to bring the geula closer, and that is in 23. Chag HaPesach, Yisodo Amuna, V'lalo Seder Lo Gilui Shechina, Hu Bivchina Rosh Hashanah L'Amuna. The Siva Shalom Pesach talks about how the idea of Pesach is the idea of Amuna. V'hu Kimamar Chazal, here's the key in the bracket. B'zchus HaAmuna Nigolu Avol Seinu Mamitzrayim, it was in the merit of Amuna that Klai Yisrael were redeemed from Egypt. U'b'zchus HaAmuna Asidim Ligoil, and it'll be in the zchus of Amuna that we will be redeemed in the future. And we know the Shara known as Kayadua Amuna, that what we need to work on, and we know Chavako Kanovik, distilled down the Gemara Makos, all of the mitzvahs into one focus, and that is V'tzadik B'munaso Yichyeh. What will hasten the Geula? So on the one hand, it's working on our Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. It's definitely the more sensitive we are, the more we're able to bring the Geula closer. One step, 1 hour, one moment closer. And the other aspect we need to work on is to strengthen our Emuna. B'zchus HaEmuna, the more that we flex this Emuna muscle, and the more we recognize Hashem in our lives, just like in Egypt, it's what brought the Geula. Likewise, Lusty Lovo is going to bring the Geula. And again, Emuna is a key component in this mitzvah as well. Rav Uziel Mileski, Zatzal in 24, has a very long essay. We highlighted quite a bit of it, but it's even longer than it is. And he says, why does the Torah introduce this portion with the words Ki Yikaret? When the term Yikaret means you chant, if you chance upon this bird's nest. Talmud explained, you ask someone to bring you a nest with a mother bird and chicks, you have no mitzvah whatsoever to send away the mother bird, so you can take the chick. This mitzvah applies only when the nest happened to be there by chance. How then do we explain God's mercy here? If there's less mercy involved if the nest had been prepared for you than if you chanced upon it. And we also know that the Talmud in Chulin relates a very famous story, how Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, became an apostate, where he saw a father tell a child, go up and chew away the mother bird, two mitzvahs that you get long life, and the child died from the fall. And he says the Torah can't be true without understanding that long life can be understood on many levels, this world and the coming world. We need to understand why was it this mitzvah that Elisha ben Avuya left the fold. And again, how is this mitzvah connected to honoring one's parents, which also has long life? So he knows at 25, he says, at the end of the parasha, we find the mitzvah to remember what Amalek did to you on your way out of Egypt, the nation that happened, Asher Korcha, upon you on the road. It almost also is like the bookmarks of the parasha. The parasha begins with the Ki Kara, by chance of the bird's nest, and it ends, Asher Korcha, Baderech. Chance is the essence of the Amalek ideology, an ideology based on an intense belief that everything in life happens by chance. This idea of Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, is the opposite of this philosophy of chance. What we believe that every minute detail in the world is supervised by God. Amalek represents the belief that things happen without any sense of fairness or justice. And that is why Amalek brought this ideology into us. And we see this by the time of Esther, of the Hester Panim. Until then, it was clear that Hashem was running the world. When we enter into this time of darkness, we meet up with Amalek, and Amalek obscures this clarity. And we indeed ask ourselves, is God really around at all times? Is he in charge of all times? And we know that Hashem says, Ki yado keis ka milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. Hashem swears on his throne, Ka, Yud K, only half of Hashem's name, that only when Amalek and Amalek's ideology will be demolished from this world could Hashem's throne be whole. Amalek exists on earth, God's name is not complete in this world, 27. That's only when Mashiach comes, Hashem will be one, his name one, when the full name of Hashem will be united, meanwhile his name is broken into two parts. In light of this, we can understand why the Talmud tells us not to refer to the mitzvah of Shiluach, kindness on God's part, since that leaves us without an explanation for all the other facets of life in which we don't see that kindness. It allows us to ask the classic question of the doubter, why is God good to some people but not to others? And if God does do only good, then perhaps God is not so kind after all. Or alternatively, perhaps all of life is dependent upon chance. Therefore, the moment we say that we should recognize the hand of God and all the good that happens to us, we have to recognize the consequence. It means we're left with a question regarding those people who are not experiencing good. How does God fit into their experience? It is important for us to recognize the very fact that we can ask such a question is a reflection of some distortion in the relationship between God and mankind. This distortion, which causes us to see apparent injustices in the world, is a manifestation of God's Hester Panim. Sending away the mother bird expresses the randomness of kindness and mercy in our lives and the world at large. Randomness is the essence of this mitzvah. That's why it applies only when you happen to come across the nest. This mitzvah reflects kindness as perceived in the most random manner possible. It shows us nothing at all of the general system of God's kindness. In fact, it highlights the difficulty of the system, the appearance of randomness, of favoritism. No one can know the ultimate reason for this mitzvah. And that's why this is the mitzvah that Acher went astray. Life doesn't make sense. You're kind to some animals and not to others. How could God be nice here but not nice there? And this is why it is almost parallel to the idea of the other mitzvah, which gets long days, honoring one's parents. If this mitzvah is random, if you happen to see the bird and you happen to be on the way, then you send it, and the mitzvah of taking care of your parents is the least random. Where obviously, I logically have to owe so much to my parents. It makes sense that I take care of them. Through assigning similar reward, 29, to these two mitzvahs, the Torah brings together the mitzvah that expresses the least randomness, and then the one that expresses the highest degree of randomness. The Torah thus tells us that in our distorted and perfect world, both mitzvahs must be the same to us. We must relate to both of them the same way, even though one creates enormous theological problems. Yet we Jews have the capacity to live with paradoxes. We can live with questions, for we live with the belief that ultimately we will learn the answer. Amalek encapsulates a philosophy of randomness. We are now living in a state of randomness, a state that will be overcome in the Messianic period when everything will become clear. And that is why the Medrash says, be careful to fulfill this mitzvah, because in doing so, you're hastening the Messianic period. In truth, the whole idea of Shiluach HaKein is becoming aware of the problem of the exile, the darkness, the unanswerable questions. It is through our deep desire to have these unanswerable questions eventually answered that we actually bring about the answers that can come only in the Messianic period. doesn't make sense. Why do we do it? How do we do it? Acher couldn't understand this mitzvah. This mitzvah represents the idea of things may not make sense. But nevertheless, we have to hold on and understand that there's a system for everything. And hence Rav Bichzatzal and Chaim Moshe 41 note that this is what we do have to learn. Ki ikara lufanecha kan sipur, ki ikara dafka shiyeh b'mikra. To say that even though it looks in your eye, shemikro nikro lufanav, that it happened to be in front of you, achamere no kein, it's not true. Ki ain shum devar balam shu mikra. The very mitzvah which we just saw in the Neruzia, which raises so much question, this very mitzvah has to be for us that when you chance upon something, there is no such thing as chance. Ela kol munhag, the asterisk, double underline in 31, and musuvav ayidei misavev kol usibor bashkos aproti. But rather, Hashem is directing everything. Yes, we have so many questions. Yes, there are so many challenges. But what this mitzvah comes to teach us is, don't give up on your emunah. Recognize that every single thing that happens to you, how it happens, when it happens, we don't understand it, it makes no sense, but know that Hashem is orchestrating everything. Everything comes from heaven. And since everything comes from heaven, you have to give kivyochol heaven back something. By sending away the mother bird, it's your recognition that you realize that Hashem is giving you this opportunity. It is tailor-made from above. And sending it away is saying, Hashem, I know you're here. I'm giving you as if a portion in this. 32, this is our job in this world. That Hashem is running the world, and is the source of everything in this world. And now I understand, by the person who works on this mitzvah, and you strengthen yourself even, especially in times that you don't understand, in times that seem to be mikra, but you know, mikra is rakme Hashem or rakam Hashem. Hashem has embroidered it. Same letters as mikra, umekariv gulasam yishuv sam shel Yisrael, because we know, as we just said, that this is the Schus of Amunah brings the Gula closer. And that, my friend, is what this mitzvah is about for us. You want to know what will bring the Gula closer? This mitzvah, which seems to be mikra, seems to be by chance, and raises so many questions. And you're able to hold on and say, I know there is Hashem who orchestrates everything, who's in charge of everything. With that steadfast Amunah, you indeed bring Gula closer. And my friends, we know Rav Berkowitz's Shiurim, the six constant mitzvos, Emunah, faith in Hashem, the first mitzvah, he points out, the Megillah is not about history, but about destiny. It's part of a Tanakh because it teaches us to examine our lives and try to see how each event fits into Hashem's plan for our personal advancement. Think about the grand events in your own life, the person you married, the person you didn't marry, the job you accepted, and the one you really wanted, but not yet, the teachers who influenced you. You may start to notice a pattern. Sometimes the grand events and the bracket in 36 are not enough. You'll have to focus on the minute details of life, people you met, seemingly by chance, who affected you in some way, a train you missed that caused you to see an advertisement on the next train that helped you grow, a ride you took with a friend during which you overheard a conversation that contained an important message for your life. Such introspection can boost your emunah as you begin to make sense of your life and the path that has been paved for you. It might be painful sometimes. There might be questions. There might be events you simply cannot understand. Don't forget, you're in the middle of the story. If we were to stop reading the Megillah somewhere in the middle, we wouldn't be able to make sense of it. We should internalize the message of Megillah and use it as a guide for our own lives and have faith that once we move on to the next world, all our questions will be answered. It says, Rav Ashir points out in Living Emunah number 2, we're shackled by so much in life that we'll be unlocked if we have the emunah that Hashem is in charge of everything. So my friends, what we've tried to see today, and then we'll get to our last level. Medrash tells us, Dvar Rabbah, that this mitzvah of sending away the mother bird hastens the geula. What's the connection? So symbolically, kabbalistically, mystically, it arouses rachamim in heaven on all those who need rachamim, people who don't have children, if all those who are in difficult situations, those of the personal gula, personal redemption, which ultimately hastens the ultimate redemption. What stops the redemption? It's that midah that brought the churban, that sinas chinam, baseless hatred, which is the arrogance of Esav that we're still living in. This is about being able, this mitzvah, to move beyond yourself, to see the needs of a mother bird, to see the pain of the mother bird, to see the rachmanos, the emotion, the feeling. And that is to inculcate within us, to have feeling. Not to say, well, I'm doing a big mitzvah, I can do whatever I want. That doesn't give you license for anything. The sensitivity is the hallmark of what a yid is about. What we need to work on in Chodesh Elul is to be able to ask ourselves, am I as sensitive as I should be? Am I as careful as I should be in keeping the mitzvot benatan l'chaveru, mitzvot benatan l'mako? Am I so, you know, concerned about God that I'm stepping over all the people around me at that expense, screaming at everybody Erev Shabbos because Shabbos is coming? I know Shabbos is coming, but does that give license to scream at everybody? These are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. These are the things, the cheshbon nefesh, we need to make in the Chodesh Elul. And the second aspect, what will bring hasten the gula, the emuna. B'schus emuna, seemingly gal. How do we strengthen our emuna? Is that when things happen in our lives, like this story, it's a mikra, I happened to chance on a bird's nest, and this mitzvah in itself is so filled with so many questions. If I'm able to hold on and say, nothing is by chance, and I recognize that Hashem is the one who orchestrates every single situation, everyone who I meet, and every sign I see, and every experience I experience, and it's all a larger picture, when I strengthen that aspect of myself, I'm hastening the geula in the world, I'm bringing up the barometer, the level of emuna, one notch higher in the world. Let's end our sandwich, so to speak, with a very, very long essay. It was 5 pages in English, which I distilled down barely into one, and many more in Hebrew. That when I read this essay, I said, I have to do it, even though I asked myself what practical ramifications this have for our lives. Perhaps we'll find. But philosophically, and it's just the gewaltic ideas here. He notes in 38, the Tana Rashbi in the Zohar Kadosh states, I'm in source 38, that the Kam Sipur, the bird's nest, represents a sanctuary of the Melech HaMashiach. When the time comes for him to redeem Israel, Mashiach will emerge from that sanctuary. At that time, he will be aroused to emerge from the Garden of Eden, from the place known as Kam Sipur. He will awaken and will appear in the regions of the Galilee. Now, obviously, he's going to be, and he speaks about this, I didn't photocopy this, a human being, what it means, right, he's born from man, Mashiach, what it means that he will emerge from this place, it means his higher soul will come from this place, and every person has different levels of the soul, and he speaks about this at length, the higher level of the Mashiach soul will come from this place. This is a source for what is presented in the Sefer Baal Shem Tov, named the Keser Shem Tov. It appears that the Baal Shem Tov would utter a prayer on the Amim Noraim, quoting our psukim concerning the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan, in order to evoke divine mercy. He would beseech the Master of the Universe to open up the sanctuary known as Kan Sipur and release the Mashiach. Thus, we have succeeded in establishing the connection between the mitzvah Kan Sipur and the hastening the Geula. By means of this mitzvah, we succeed in freeing the Melech HaMashiach, who is restrained in the sanctuary of Kan Sipur. So every time we, it's again imagery, we free the mother bird, it's like we're opening up that gate a little bit wider so that the Mashiach soul can come out of the place that he's waiting in his bird's nest. And he notes that the fact that it's called Kan Sipur, which is an acronym of Kuf and Sadik, Kan is Kuf, or Kane, and Sadik is Sipur, it spells out Kates, that he is the one who is waiting for the Kates, the end, right? Kates am lechoshech, for the end to become revealed. Now, he takes this one step further. He says that we have learned from the two midrashim cited that the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan is a skula for two things, hastening the gula and the birth of children. The Zera Shimshon writes that these two skulas are related to one another. For we've learned in the Gemara Nida that the son of David will not come until all the souls are vacated from the guf. As it is stated, for a spirit from before me shall be late born and the souls that I have made. Rashi explains that the Guf is the name of the location designated for the Shemas that are destined to be born. The spirits and the Shemas that God has made are delaying the Geula because they have yet to be born. And that's why, parenthetically, you've noticed now a lot more twins and triplets are born, and people who didn't have children with the help, obviously, of the Kodesh Baruch Hu and modern medical understanding, that more people are able to have children than ever before. All of this is because Mashiach has to come when all of these souls leave this place. And since Mashiach is out here, the souls have to move at a much faster pace. And that's why, by the way, it's also brought down. Now that's why low labor people are dying at a much more accidents for very young people, because their souls have to come back much more quickly in order to bring the Geula. Now we have learned that the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKan is a school for the birth of children. Hence the merit of this mitzvah. We merit extracting the Neshamos from the storehouse of the Neshamos, a feat upon which the Geula depends. It's clear, therefore, why the fulfillment of this mitzvah happens the coming of the Mashiach, for the two schoolos are associated with the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKan. Where are these Neshamos, he notes in 43? Where are these Neshamos kept? They're kept. All the Neshamos are kept in this storehouse called Kan Sipur. So every time a child is born, it brings down one more soul that has to be brought. Every time that warehouse is empty, it hastens the Geula. So that when you do the mitzvah of Kan Sipur down here, and you are freeing the mother bird, you are opening a petach in Shamayim for a soul to come down, and hence it's a school for children, and hastening Mashiach to be open and be able to come one step further. Then he brings down, the Zohar HaKadosh states in 42, then the sanctuary of Kan Sipur, Mashiach sees Rachel Imenu crying over her children. This prompts him to alert all the Sadiqim to cry over the Chorban and the Golos. That I will explain again why the Baal Shem Tov, again, Rachel Mavakab HaNab, in the Haftarah, would bring this mitzvah as a skula, as a schus, for the Geula. And again, why the whole theme of Rosh Hashanah is Geula, it's a shofar, the ultimate redemption, is all connected with this idea of the mother, the imagery of the mother, the imagery of the Kan Sipur. Mashiach sees that Kadosh Baruch Hu is attempting to console Rachel, but she refuses to be consoled. This prompts him to raise his voice and wail, all of Gan Eden shudders. We learn from here that Rachel Imenu represents the mother of the children. She sits here in the sanctuary of Kan Sipur with all the Neshamas of Yisrael that have yet to be born into this world. She yearns and prays that Yisrael should already merit bringing all these Neshamas down to this world. For if we accomplish this feat, the Neshama Mashiach will also vacate that sanctuary and appear in the world, heralding the Geula to Yisrael. We can now shed light on some of the meaning of the Pesukim 44. Ki kareh Kan Sipur lefanecha. You should have in mind the memory in the sanctuary known as Kan Sipur, where the Neshama of the Mashiach is confined. Baderech, while you're in Golos, which is tantamount to be on the road. Becholetz, whether you're involved in the Torah study, it's Chaimhi, or La'aretz, whether you're involved in earthly pursuits. You should always keep in mind the sanctuary of Kan Sipur, Mashiach located along with the Efrochim and Batzim, the new Neshamas that have yet to be born. Va'im rovetzel Efrochim ola Batzim, Rachel Imenu crying here over children, alluded to by the mother bird, roosting in her young or on her eggs mercifully, pleading that they should already merit leaving the storehouse of Neshamas and born into this world. Then the Torah warns us, Lo tikachem al banim, do not become complacent by accepting the status quo, thinking that Rachel, as a caring mother, is watching over children, and they lack for nothing. Rather, shaleach to shalach ta'im, encourage Rachel Imenu to leave that place by sending her out along with the Neshama Mashiach at the time of the final Geula. The way to do that, explains the Pasuk, is v'tabanim tikach lach, by taking the children out of the storehouse of the Neshamos and bringing them down into this world. And finally, my friends, just one more nekuda, and with this we will end. Rav Pinchas of Koritz explains, Hodaya Gein Aleinu, that it isn't by accident that David HaMelech, who represents the soul of the Mashiach, Mashiach ben David, composed Tehillim that have 150 kan. The birth nest came 150 psalms in it. Kuf is 100, Nun is 50. It's not by accident. Each time we say Tehillim, we are helping open up that bird's nest to bring the Geula. And we should have that in mind. That imagery is such a powerful imagery, that there is kivyachu, that nest in Shamayim, waiting for these children to come down. Every time we do this mitzvah, every time we say Tehillim, every time we bring more children into this world, we're hastening this process of what the Geula is about. We should be zoch that this year, when we hear the Kol Shofar, it is indeed the Satan, who gets confused every year, should be validated this year. It should be the Kol Gadol, the Asher Yitakash Shofar B'Kol Gadol, that will bring the Geula B'mheira B'Yameinu B'Schus of our Amunah, B'Schus of these mitzvos, B'mheira B'Yameinu Amen.